The reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given, through the Spirit, a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Nigel. This week, we are continuing our Alive in Christ series. So far, we have looked at being sons and daughters of God. We've looked at unity in the family. And last week, Nigel looked at how we have a family likeness as followers of Jesus. This week, our title is Gifts for All the Children, as we look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church. Thinking of gifts made me think of my Christmas growing up, where the whole family would be gathered together next to the Christmas tree, with the music playing, the fire crackling, and the presents piled high beneath the tree. My father would have handed out the gifts to everyone, and the sound of tearing paper, aided by the family dog, and the excited, joyful exclamations would then fill the air as we would each watch each other receive the gifts, open them, marvel at them, and then, with the unwrapping complete, put them to use. Whether this was the maiden flight of a new Star Wars toy or a fashion show of the latest gear. And maybe this was the time when you would be watching to see if the gifts that you had given were well received. Did they like them? Did they go to the bottom of the pile and not see the light of day ever again? But as the gift receiver enjoys the gift, so does the gift giver find joy as they now celebrate together. The whole family is receiving and reveling in their gifts as they all join together in the celebration. And there's clearly a link here, as God is the great gift giver, and we as the family of God are the gift receiver. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So it is God the Holy Spirit who is distributing these special gifts of God to his children, which is you if you are trusting in Jesus today. These gifts are not outsourced by God, but it is the Holy Spirit working in perfect harmony with God the Father and Jesus as a Trinity who go about this. because it is Jesus' work on the cross which has bridged that gap between us and God, and it is that work which allows the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of us, crossing over that divide which is now gone and making us new creations in Christ. And it is here as new creations in Christ that we are taught about these workings and kinds of service that the Holy Spirit gives us. But it is all for the same purpose and the same mission which God is sending us on. So today we are focusing on these individual gifts which God has given us. But as we individually and collectively give ourselves over to God, as we look to please Him, we should see some general universal changes in our lives. And this is called sanctification, as we become more like God, as we mirror Jesus' love and Jesus' actions more here on earth. And this growth that comes from God's Spirit in us, Paul puts it this way. He says, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of God's work in you. And he writes in Galatians 5, verse 22. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. So we as a family have the likeness, this shared gift or growth that unites us. The Holy Spirit's general work in us produces these fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, it goes on. This kind of love for one another and people around us, it is the work of the Spirit in us that gives us a kinship with our wider church family across the world when we mutually recognize this fruit, this love, this family likeness as we all share our joint identity in God's global family. So God gives all believers His Holy Spirit, and it does this same sanctifying work in all of us. And we are all not the finished articles. But the Holy Spirit also gives us individual gifts to believers for the building up of the church. Paul writes that these individual gifts are all for the common good. They are not here to make us feel important. In fact, the more we use our gifts, the more we have to humble ourselves and say, it's your way, God, not my way. It's your glory, God. It's you who I'm pointing to, not myself. Because all these gifts are for building up the church and for glorifying God. Paul lists 9 of the gifts here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes to each one just as He determines. Elsewhere, Paul goes on to mention other gifts: helpers, administrators, evangelists, pastors, gifts of serving, encouraging, giving, leadership, showing mercy, hospitality, and speaking. And when we look at our world, we see a world that is lacking mercy. We see a world that is lacking encouragement, leadership, hospitality, a world desperately in need of hearing Jesus' good news. We are in desperate need of these special gifts of the Holy Spirit. All these good gifts come from God. Some more obviously demonstrate the unusual acts of God in this world. and some spiritual gifts can include natural talents which have been transformed by the Holy Spirit. They are not first and second class Christians. All Christians receive a spirit. All Christians have spiritual gifts. Not only do we individually receive these gifts, but that gift is then uniquely expressed through us. God has made us vessels of His Spirit. God has made us His hands and feet on earth to be His representatives. And He has made us all different. We all have the same Spirit, the same love, the same God, the same Word. But how we express our gifts is different. It is unique through our character. So how I preach is different to how Nigel preaches. How one person shows welcome is different to another. How one person encourages is different to another's. This does not mean we get to say, God has made me a bitter person, so I will be a bitter welcomer. No, we don't look to hold on to or celebrate what we are trying to leave behind, or what might cause division or hurt. But as a united group of characters, we can fully express who God has made us to be as we express and use the gifts He has given us. A retired minister once said to me that the church should be full of eccentric people because we are not trying to conform to society, nor are we trying to conform exactly to how everybody else in the church are. But we are becoming ever more who God has made us to be with these shared universal traits of God's love and the fruit of His Spirit. So, we are a family, but we are not all the same. We have these universal traits of love from God that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 13 as we try and mirror this love that God showed us. Yet as we serve God, as we step out in faith, whether that is serving in a ministry, whether that is taking a risk for Jesus in a relationship, we can ask God to use us, to develop in us these spiritual gifts. That is how we find out what shape we are in God's church. Our shape being that place where we are most effective in serving, where we are gifted in particular. So to come back to that picture of a family at Christmas receiving gifts, we are, as a church family, are works in progress. We are receiving and using the gifts we are given. And as we gladly receive those gifts, they cause us to love God more as we unwrap these good gifts that He has given us. And as we love God more, the more does that make the giver of gifts, God, pleased. It reminds me of the Westminster Catechism, question 1. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Or as John Piper puts it, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. So let's be satisfied in the gifts that God has to give us today. Yet it's not just as I receive a gift and it grows in me which brings me joy. It is as I watch those around me in the church receive their gifts, as they unwrap these gifts, as they explore what God has given to them, as they joyfully show and use those gifts and develop in them, that also fills me with joy and us with joy. It is this celebration of God's Holy Spirit poured into us, as God the Holy Spirit lavishes on us His gifts, as we gladly receive those gifts, that brings God delight and builds up His church, ready for its mission. Some of us today might be thinking, well, I don't mind these fruits of the Spirit. They sound okay. Joy, love, peace, forbearance, kindness, gentleness. But I'm not so in for these spiritual gifts. I'd rather just maybe turn up to church and be nice, and that be my bit done. Well, Nicky Gumbel puts it this way. He says, one of the major problems in church at large is that there are so few people using their gifts. As a result, a few people are left doing everything and are totally exhausted, while the rest are underutilized. The church has been likened to a football match in which thousands of people, desperately in need of exercise, watched 22 people desperately in need of a rest. And it seems an absurd image for that to be like the church. Imagine that family scene again at Christmas, except this time the gifts are being left unopened. The presents are still beneath the tree. The gift giver is ignored. The family members simply choose to stick to what they have already. They're occupied. They're on their own agenda. They'd rather just do it their way. That seems an absurd picture, to ignore the gift which has been given to you freely, to not see what is beneath the wrapping paper, to not see what the good, good God has to offer you. But that is what we can do so often throughout our Christian lives and more widely as a church. We prefer our own agenda, our own skills for our own use and our own ends. But God's church will only operate with maximum effectiveness when every person is using his or her gifts. God does not require us to have many gifts, but he does require us to use what we have and to desire more. Church is not a spectator sport, and church happens all throughout the week, whether that's at Harbour, Pantry, in our life groups, in Alpha, in the children's ministry, in the finances, in the building and maintenance. It is all part of God's mission. And why do we need these spiritual gifts? Why doesn't the church just wing it? Well, if we look back to the day of Pentecost, Jesus has ascended to heaven and told his disciples not to do anything until the Helper arrives. So the apostles and other believers were together in the one place, together in Jerusalem, surrounded by a hostile city. And the Holy Spirit comes upon them in power. And it gives them tongues. It allows them to speak foreign languages. And they go out into the crowd of thousands of people and proclaim Jesus' good news. And God uses that supernaturally to bring over 3,000 people to be saved. God's Holy Spirit is like a powerful sword which can cut through the barriers around us and take us to places we could not have considered. It took those first believers from deadlock and inactivity to going beyond their boundaries and seeing a massive move of people coming to Jesus. And it's the same for us today. The Holy Spirit takes us beyond where we could ever think of going ourselves. Whether that is a word of wisdom to someone in crisis, whether it is the special encouragement to someone at just the right time that meant more than you could ever have known, whether it's the gift of administration used to oversee projects in the church, whether it's extraordinary generosity enabling God's kingdom work to be done. There are so many examples, and there is so much to do, from the children's work to the building repairs and restoration projects, to the finances, to the welcome team, to the hospitality, to the acts of mercy through the Harbour and Pantry ministry, to our local community. God needs all our gifts in action. Paul writes that we should desire the spiritual gifts, that we should ask God to use us as much as possible. The gift of prophecy is one of these gifts. It is not about telling the future or the same as the Old Testament prophets. But prophecy may be a special message from God. This might be shared with someone individually. This might be to guide yourself or the church in prayer. It might be to guide the church in a new direction of ministry or mission. Or it might be an insight into something that needs to change in an individual or group's lives. Prophecy from God never conflicts with the Bible. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, that the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. The gift of prophecy is what can supercharge the workings of a church as it looks to be in step with the Spirit and with what God is doing. And these gifts are to be used in an orderly way, whatever gift you have been given, We are not there to go rogue because we are especially gifted in one thing or another. That is why Paul goes on in chapter 12 to say how we are like one body as a church, with many parts, with no part of the body being indispensable. We are to practice using these gifts. We are to develop them. We're not the finished article straight away. We're to keep on praying and keep on reflecting on what God is doing in our lives. We're to take the wisdom and counsel of other believers around us as they look to guide us to where we might be most gifted. We're to continue praying to God to use us more. So God is calling us today to use our gifts for the building up of his church, for the increase of God's kingdom. He has good gifts for his children, and he wants us to joyfully receive them. But we so often don't take what God has to offer for us for different reasons. And this is something that we have all done over the time. For some of us, even that picture of a whole family celebrating is a difficult one, or one we have never known. For some, the idea of God as a good father is difficult. For others, the idea of potentially receiving supernatural gifts is completely terrifying. For some, it is simply not convenient. It does not fit in with what we consider to be our plan. Our life is focused elsewhere. Well, today God is saying, I have a good gift for you. It is what I designed you for. It's what I, as your creator, have made you to do in this world, in this church, for my kingdom, for God's glory to be shown. It is that special cog, it is that special part of the body which you are specially made for. So today, find your satisfaction in God. Find your joy in what he has to give you, and say, Lord Jesus, use me for your kingdom. Use me in the way which brings you the most glory. And God most certainly will. And as we all do this together, God's church will work and bring about his kingdom. Let's stand to pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you now. We recognize our need as individuals and as a church, desperately for your Holy Spirit to be with us. We thank you for how you dwell inside every believer here, God. And Lord, for those of you who don't yet know you yet, we just pray this prayer that we trust in you, Jesus. We trust in your act on the cross. Come and dwell inside of me. I give my life over to you. And Lord Jesus, today many of us, we say sorry. Sorry for when we have not been open to that new thing you wanted to do in our lives. Lord God, we have not always been open to you. We have not always given ourselves fully over to you. You have set passions. You have given us skills. We have not developed them. We have not used them as you have called us to. But now, Lord Jesus, we turn to you and we say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us anew. Where we feel tired, where we feel hopeless, where we feel overwhelmed, we pray for your joy to come. Where we feel we have failed in the past, we pray for your restoration. Where we feel hurt at what has gone before, we pray for your healing. And Lord Jesus, we know that you are the good gift giver. And we accept what you have to offer us now. We accept your calling on us, on our lives. And Lord Jesus, if we don't know it yet, we pray that you will help show us in these coming days, weeks, and months what you want us to do. And you will develop and help us grow as individuals, as a church, to do your mission and to bring about your kingdom here. In your name, amen. Amen. Let's sing.